Wait, isn't that supposed to be Friday? Okay, I'm in a good mood, and boy, do I have fantastic and incredibly strange news for you today. Look, I think you're going to love the first hour, because I love the first hour. Every story in here is amazeballs. Okay, so you're going to see it. Now, you know, look, Loser Donald, some of you like that segment, some of you, no, you're all going to love this one. You're going to love it. Don't you dare miss it. Okay. And then the jury's coming in on Governor LePage. I'll tell you about that. We do have a serious story about our voting system getting hacked. That's as real as a heart attack. So I'll tell you about that later this hour. And then the second hour, people have begun to burn Colin Kaepernick's jerseys because he did not stand for the national anthem. Which side are we on? Well, given that Colin Kaepernick has destroyed one of my fantasy football teams. Now, all right, we'll have a real discussion about that in the second hour. And it's Rudy Giuliani versus Beyonce again. This time, we're going to show you some of the facts and data related to why Giuliani is so wrong. Got a great show ahead for you. For God's sakes, Van Gogh. Okay, this is the first story. Oh, God. Oh, the show already starts awesome. Okay, here we go. So Rush Limbaugh has a very interesting and unique theory about lesbian farmers. Now, before we get to his theory, let me read you what this is all about. So, in the middle of August, they had a summit. Here, let me have Snopes tell you all about it, because they looked into this theory that Rush has. On 18th of August of 2016, this year obviously, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other federal and local agencies hosted an event called the Iowa LGBT Rural Summit, the purpose of which was to share information relating to policies, programs, and services that exist to protect, promote, and strengthen LGBT rural communities. Now, so far this seems perfectly benign. Okay, you happen to be an LGBT farmer, bless your heart, here are the programs that are available to you. Now, let's look at the specifics a little bit though. They say among the topics discussed at the Des Moines get-together were rural housing loans, community facility grants, and bullying. Now, the first of those two are enormously standard and available to everyone. So, you can get rural housing loans if you're gay, straight, black, white, it doesn't matter. Community facility grants in farming, are you kidding me? People have been complaining about farming subsidies for decades now. That's certainly available to everybody. But I guess the bullying would be specific to the LGBT community, and they wanted to talk through how that would happen. I didn't know that there was much bullying on the farms. I didn't know that the farmers ran into each other that often. But okay, seems like perfectly normal, in fact, quite boring get together, if you will. No. According to the right wingers, there is a nefarious plot afoot here. Well, first the right-wing blogs pick up on it, and Elizabeth Harrington from the Washington Free Beacon starts the conspiracy theory. She says, the all-day summit will teach lesbian, and this is my favorite, transgender hillbillies how to get subsidies from the government like rural housing loans and community facility grants. Now, I didn't know that there were lesbian farmers because I had put no thought into it. I'm sure there are, of course there are, right? There's straight farmers, gay farmers, lesbian farmers, just like there are doctors, lawyers, etc. I don't know that there is a thing as transgender hillbillies. I don't think that's a thing, okay? But Rush takes a look at these blogs and goes, no, you amateurs. Let the professional idiots step in here and show you how to concoct a real asinine conspiracy theory. Go.
What the point of this is, folks, it's not about lesbian farmers. What they're trying to do is convince lesbians to become farmers. You sit in there and laugh. Okay, go ahead and laugh at it, but I'm telling you what they're doing. They are trying to bust up one of the last geographic conservative regions in the country, and that's rural America. Rural America happens to be largely conservative. Rural America is made up of self-reliant, rugged individual types. They happen to be big believers in the Second Amendment. So here comes the Obama regime with a bunch of federal money, and they're waving it around, and all you got to do to get it is to be a lesbian and want to be a farmer, and they'll set you up. I'm like you. I never before in my life knew that lesbians wanted to be farmers. I never knew that lesbians wanted to get behind a horse and a plow and start burrowing. I never knew it. But apparently enough money can make it happen. And the objective here is to attack, they're already attacking suburbs. And that has been made perfectly clear by what happened in Milwaukee. And they're going after every geographic region that is known to be largely conservative. They never stop, folks. They are constantly on the march.
Constantly on the march. They're like, we got too many lesbians in the cities. Let's bring them out to the farms and destroy the farms. Okay, first of all, the summit happened in Des Moines, Iowa. It's not like they went to New York City and San Francisco. They're like, lesbians, come here, come here. Any transgender hillbillies out there? Come on. We're all moving to Iowa and we're going to go ruin their culture. No, they're already in Iowa. They happen to be lesbian. I don't know how many there are of them, right? It's like, oh, I didn't know lesbians were interested in farming. No, I didn't know that either, but that's because I didn't put a second of thought into it. Of course they would be, like any other profession, because they're like any other human being. But he makes it seem like, well, obviously lesbians are not going to be into farming. That's obvious. So it's part of a global conspiracy to take away the Second Amendment? Wait, what? How did the Second Amendment get into this? If you're wondering if there is a scintilla of evidence into any of these wild theories about how they're trying to seduce the lesbians into becoming farmers and the Second Amendment rights and all the other, and of course the suburbs have already been destroyed. Everybody already knows. I mean, look at Milwaukee. What on God's green earth are they talking about? Anyway, no, Snopes looked into it. Of course there's no evidence of it. Of course there's no evidence. All there was an incredibly boring summit put together by the Department of Agriculture in the middle of Iowa for people who were already farmers to educate them on what things they have available to them, what programs they have, like everyone else in the country. No, really, you got to understand something. These right-wingers, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, they don't live in the reality-based world. In their world, there's all, you know why? Because they do conspiracies. They cover things up. They have bad intent. So they assume that everyone also has bad intent. They assume that liberals are also hatching conspiracies. So they're like, what would we do? We would recruit lesbians to destroy their culture. I bet they're doing likewise. Okay. No, there's no such thing. You know, I kind of feel sorry for them. Because they got to live inside their own heads. We can just look at it from the outside and laugh. But Rush Limbaugh has to live with that mind for his whole life. Oh, that poor sumbitch. Oh, I know where he got the lesbian farmer thing. Porn. He was looking at, oh, yeah, the lesbian, oh, yeah, I knew it. Lesbian farmers, saw it on a VHS copy I have from the 1980s. Idiot. Where they got transgender hillbillies, I don't know. Okay. All right, I'm moving on. What do I got here? I got this, right? I don't have it ready. I'll play a random one.
That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything.
Lesbian farmers. Okay, all right, I'm passing. Okay, we're going on. Now we go on to a Democratic idiot. Anthony Weiner, otherwise known as Carlos Danger, otherwise known as the Mongoose, is at it again. We told you. A little while back, just like about a week or two ago, he comes out with another texting situation. He got catfished by some guy in New York. And he had written to that person thinking that they were an attractive young woman. I am deceptively strong, like a mongoose. Okay. Now, at the time, I said the mongoose is loose, and he said, no. I knew I was being catfished, and I was just playing back with that person. Of course, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding around. I was like, no, you weren't. Dude, you're hooked. You're addicted. You can't stop it. And so, obviously, this time around, he gets caught, and he cannot deny it, and they got him again. Jesus, Lord mercy. Okay, so this time among the tweets that he's caught with is, so he sends a bunch to this woman who I'm going to show you in a second, okay, and what he sent and all the terrible things, including, oh, his kids involved. Ah! Okay, I'll show you in a second. But at some point he thinks, oh no, I accidentally made it public again. That's how he originally caught on the first Twitter scandal. Remember, there's a Twitter scandal when he's a congressman. He finally steps down. He runs for mayor. He's getting redemption. He's winning the race. We find out the second Twitter scandal where he's sending dick pics to people. And now the third one is this one. And when he thinks that he sent it out to the public, like he did the first time around, he goes, ooh, I was scared. For half a second, I thought I posted something. Stop looking at my crotch, he says. Okay, I'm going to explain that a little bit more in depth because that's the one that involves his kid in a sec. But first, let me tell you who this idiot was sending the tweets to. She's a self-avowed supporter of Donald Trump and the National Rifle Association, who's used Twitter to bash both President Obama and Clinton. No, but Wiener, how dumb do you have to be to send inappropriate crotch shots and masturbatory tweets to a Donald Trump supporter? You think that she's not going to out you, even if everything else went right? It's unbelievable, unbelievable. It's so unbelievable. The first time the first of these three scandals came out, I literally didn't believe it. I'm like, come on. He's a relatively smart congressman with some effective policies. No one could be this dumb, let alone this kind of. It turns out, no. But he's got a problem, man. He really does. All right, first, let me show you the New York Post headline that came out immediately, of course. Pop goes the wiener, they say, of course. Daddy sex while taking care of Todd, because in one of the pictures is his son. Now, look, let me give you the full context here, because he had been talking with her not just about sex, and she had shared pictures of her nieces and nephews, and I assume in order to be, you know, seem more wholesome, he says, oh, look who crawled into bed with me, and takes a picture with his son and sends it to her. But then she starts talking about, hey, I can see your crotch in that picture. And then he's like, something along the lines of like, hey, what am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? No, don't tell me, you know what I'm saying, when your kid's in the picture and you're talking about your genitalia. And I got it, dude, you got good abs. Thank God I don't have good abs. It just probably tempt me to go tweet it out to everybody. Like, is everybody with good abs, Killjoy takes off their shirt right away. Everybody with good abs and Alex Jones. Anyway, they just take off their shirt and they're like, oh, just pick, and send it to everybody. Let alone if you've got good abs and what Wiener's got. It's what's done him in. He can't wait to show everybody. Doesn't matter what it's next to. Look at my dick. That's what he keeps saying in every tweet. Okay, you're going to see that in a second as well. So the ugly details of that. So why was he so excited? Well, let's keep it real. He was sending the tweets to this lovely lady. So that's the Trump supporter from across the country who had gotten him so interested and excited. He says, oh no, quote, we've been friends for some time. Sure, I know, friends, of course. But you can see through the tweets that every time there's an opportunity, Wiener redirects the conversation to sex. To be fair to her, and she didn't do anything wrong, she's not a public figure, this guy befriends her and then redirects to sex. Yes, she plays along at times. But again, I don't think that's her fault at all, and she's not remotely the issue here. But dude, if you're just friends, why do you keep talking about your penis? Okay, so in fact, in one of the times that he talks about his penis, he says, I'd put someone's eye out with this thing, hashtag overdue. Ay, 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 ay. Jesus, okay. Then she starts playing along. She sends provocative pictures of herself like the ones you saw. She sends one of her buttocks, if you will, with a slight tear in her pants, and he says, I'll need a bigger hole. Adds a smiling emoji with tongue sticking out. Always classy, that Wiener. Okay, and then of course here comes Wiener's weird tweeting, what he views to be seduction. He says, guess who visited me in a dream last night / this morning? Oh, you, Av. What are you, 14? Okay, and then to make it clearer, he says, I did not sleep well, horny as fuck. Okay, yeah, I got you, brother. And then he talks about how she's his fantasy girl, and he says, I mean literally. So Now you know how I got to sleep last night, adding a purple demon emoji because he wasn't childish enough. We got it, Anthony, we got it. I know, you're masturbating to her. We all understand. Please, for once, put it away. Anyway, but he's not done yet. He says, she responds back. He says, yeah, I taxed myself too much on that one. So anyway, what are you wearing? Adding a winking, and here we go again, tongue out emoji. Put the tongue back in, Anthony, for Christ's sake. You're a national embarrassment. Okay, now finally, if all of this wasn't obscenely clear enough, after she sent him a cartoon image of a pump bottle of hand lotion and a box of tissues, he responded with a graphic homemade text and emoji image of an ejaculating penis. The thing that I find most amazing about this story is that someone's got enough time to make homemade emojis. I didn't even know that existed. Picture Wiener in his house like, oh man, I got to craft this homemade text and emoji of an ejaculating penis. Dude, get a job. Get a job, but not a whack job. Okay, just for, oh man, just vent in other ways. You know, somebody that I was talking to this morning actually made a good point. He said maybe Wiener's thing is public humiliation. No, seriously, because this is a whole different level. Like, just the internal humiliation maybe is not enough of a turn on. He's trying to get caught. That's why he got caught in the first time, so that he could be publicly humiliated in front of everyone, so that he could do purple demon emojis and the things with the, you know, and the, you know. And so tonight he's probably thinking, all right. So now the fallout and the consequences. He apparently had a column with the Daily News, gone. We won't be running his columns in the future. His wife is, of course, Huma Abedin, a top aide to Hillary Clinton. She's got to be mortified. They have a kid. Everybody feels sick about that. I mean, she didn't sign up for this public humiliation. That's not her thing. And so, why would you do that to her for? So she says, after long and painful consideration and work on my marriage, I made the decision to separate from my husband. I mean, boy, does she try. Through all those different scandals, she stuck with him because they got a kid. But now, finally, she's got to call it a day, and of course, it makes sense. And I just want to leave you with one Anthony Weiner tweet that he sent to this woman. He was trying to entice her to come to New York, because he always says, oh, this is just fantasy, we never do anything. But the whole time, he's like, come on, come to town, come on, we'll do something together. Like, so, no, you want to take it to the next level. You always did in all your tweets and all the different controversies. And then you call yourself dumbass things like Carlos Danger and the Mongoose. So then he says to get her to come, let's get together. I'm a big wheel in this town. Not anymore, Anthony. Not anymore. So long, Mr. Weiner. Okay. That should be the end of him, but God knows what happens next. Maybe a reality show, then maybe he runs for president. Who knows? Okay, now we go back to, well, this guy, I don't know what he is. I mean, I don't know if he's a Republican. He's Trump's doctor. Let me tell you about him, okay? So now, a while back, we shared with you the incredible, insane letter that Donald Trump's doctor wrote talking about Donald Trump's health. Now, that was news when it first came out. It's news again today because Donald Trump's been talking about Hillary Clinton's health. And so then people started wondering, wait, Trump, your doctor seems insane with the letter he wrote, so how healthy are you? And so it brings us back to that letter. In the letter, Dr. Bornstein had written such incredible things as Trump's health and his lab results were, quote, astonishingly excellent. All right, bring it down, big guy. Okay. And then he wrote this fantastical statement. If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. Man, now you know why he's Trump's doctor. When NBC News catches up with him, they say, come on, how do you know what all the other presidents' health was, etc.? He says, no, I like that sentence, to be quite honest with you. And all the rest of them are either sick or dead. Oh, what a goofball. What a goofball. Okay, well, you can tell here. I mean, here's Dr. Harold Bornstein. Who has a doctor that looks like that? There's only one person in the country who would have a doctor that looks like that. Donald Trump. If you put him in a lineup with other doctors and said, which one's Trump's doctor? You know it's this guy. Everybody would have picked him out. He's the only guy insane enough to be like, oh, yeah, Trump, astonishingly excellent health. Okay, so they said, okay, why are you Trump's doctor? Why did you say these glowing things about him? He says, I like Donald Trump because I think he likes me. Oh, okay, well, for this you went to medical school, we think. Not done yet. I want to share the NBC News report with you guys. Tiny little brief visit with the doctor, the good doctor, but you're going to get a sense of the crazy here. Go ahead.
Is that the way that you write most of your medical letters?
No, but for Mr. Trump, I wrote that letter that way.
Did he ask you to describe it that way, or do you pick up his kind of language by spending time with him?
I think I probably picked up his kind of language and then just interpreted it to my own. It's like I had 5 minutes to sit right at this desk and write that letter while the driver waited for it. In a rush, I think some of those words didn't come out exactly the way they were meant. Well, I thought about it all day, and at the end, I get rushed and I get anxious when I get rushed, so I try to get the 4 or 5 lives done as fast as possible that they would be happy with. His health is excellent, particularly his mental health. He thinks he's the best, so it works out just fine. He would be fit because I think that his brain is turned on 24 hours a day.
Most of our brains are turned on for long periods of the day. I'm not sure that applies to the good doctor. Well, if Dr. Bornstein is vouching for Donald Trump's mental health, then it must be great. And just when you think this story can't get any stranger, he apparently had the website in the letter, haroldbornsteinmd.com. When you go to the website, there was nothing. God knows what was in it originally, but it's been wiped out. What kind of madness was there? So somebody bought the website. Apparently they could. You know what they turned it into? A website that sells the annoying teddy bear. Okay, what is this? It's a teddy bear that sings happy birthday for 3 straight hours. You send it to people you hate because it will drive them crazy. Okay, here's how the people who are selling annoying teddy bear describe it. There are thoughtful birthday gifts, and then there are birthday gifts born out of the bubbling cauldron of hell. The annoying teddy falls into the latter category. Oh, maybe that's what happened. Somebody sent Bornstein an annoying teddy, and he lost his freaking mind. Thinks he's a genius. Maybe it's him who's selling it. You think it's not? Are you positive it's not? Maybe it's another Trump scam, TrumpAnnoyingTeddy.com. These people are lunatics. This guy could have access, Donald Trump could have access to the nuclear codes. He could launch at any time. And the only one telling us whether he is mentally healthy or not is this guy, Dr. Bornstein. Oh, for Christ's sake, don't even think about it. Okay. Now, when we come back, I know it's unbelievable, but that was the second craziest Donald Trump story today. You're going to love Loser Donald. It turns out Donald was thinking of doing a TV show about himself. I know, shocking. But wait till you see the trailer. Oh, don't you dare go anywhere. Come right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. We're rolling today, man. Okay, like Dr. Bornstein. Okay, Captain Atlas writes in about Rush Limbaugh. His description of farming tells you what century he thinks it is. It's true. What donkeys and burrowing are you talking about? Agriculture now is totally industrialized. Okay, El Duende Chingon writes in, sometimes I think Anthony Weiner takes his last name as some sort of personal challenge. It's a great tweet. Totally true. Chris Allen writes in, when Anthony Weiner sends a dick pic, he calls it a selfie. Funny, Chris. And then Baked Slice Mahoney says, Dr. Bornstein clearly got his degree at Trump University. Edwin here made a good point during the break. Dr. Bornstein seems like one of those doctors you'd see on Venice Beach here in LA. He seems like he's prescribed more weed than Pablo Escobar sold. Okay. Anyways, all right, now we got a couple of serious stories for you guys, and then we're going to get back into the madness. So this next one is quite serious. It's about our voting system. Michael Isikoff reporting a really important and interesting story on Yahoo News. Isikoff, one of the better investigative reporters in the country, one of the best. And he explains that the FBI has uncovered evidence that foreign hackers penetrated two state election databases in recent weeks, prompting the Bureau to warn election officials across the country to take new steps to enhance the security of their computer systems, according to federal and state law enforcement officials. Now look, this is something that we've been worried about for a long time, because it's just common sense. If this stuff's on a computer, computers can be hacked. And we've shown you how they can even hack into cars and then drive the car for you. Now that's frightening. Now, like the cars, there haven't been a lot of proven cases of people hacking into the voter databases, so it was just a theoretical worry. Now it's become a practical concern. So more from Isikoff here. The FBI warning contained in a flash alert from the FBI's cyber division, a copy of which was obtained by Yahoo News, comes amid heightened concerns among U.S. intelligence officials about the possibility of cyber intrusions potentially by Russian state-sponsored hackers aimed at disrupting the November elections. Now, the Russian part of this story I think is relevant. I'll get more details for that in a second for you, so stay right here. But I think that it's incredibly worrisome no matter which country did it, no matter which entity did it. If it was inside the United States and it's the person who happens to be Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter, or just a troublemaker, it's deeply troubling that they can be hacked. But if it's a foreign government, Chinese, Russian, Saudi, doesn't matter, that's even worse. Okay, so we'll get back to the Russians in a second. But first, how deep is this problem? Well, Jay Johnson, who's the head of Department of Homeland Security, made it a lot more real recently. Johnson emphasized in the call that they put together that Homeland Security was not aware of specific or credible cybersecurity threats to the election, officials said. But 3 days after that call, the FBI cyber division issued a potentially more disturbing warning titled "Targeting Activity Against State Board of Election Systems." The alert, labeled as restricted for quote "need to know recipients," disclosed that the Bureau was investigating cyber intrusions against two state election websites this summer, including one that resulted in the exfiltration or theft of voter registration. So that is a huge problem. So let me begin to explain what's happening here. So it's not like they have evidence right now that the federal election system has been hacked into, rigged, or anything along those lines. That election has not happened yet, obviously. That happens in November. But what they've done is they've apparently infiltrated at least the state voting systems of two states, Illinois and Arizona. So let me give you details on that. In the Illinois case, officials were forced to shut down the state's voter registration system for 10 days in late July after the hackers managed to download personal data on up to 200,000 state voters, Ken Menzel, the general counsel of the Illinois Board of Elections, said in an interview. The Arizona attack was more limited, involving malicious software that was introduced into its voter registration system, but no successful exfiltration of data, as state officials said. So now here are state officials basically confirming what's happened. They infiltrate Arizona. In Illinois, they not only infiltrate, they get out data. Now, there's several theories as to why they might have done this. Now, one is maybe it's just a common criminal and he wants to be able to take that data and then use it to be able to run fraud. It is entirely possible. It could be, like I said, other nations that are doing it, and it could be for a lot of different reasons. Any way you slice it, it's very concerning, because we've got to make sure that no one can mess with the integrity of those elections. And once you put that down into people's heads, even that appearance is deeply troubling. Now, let's talk about who it might have been. So Rich Barger is the chief intelligence officer at Threat Connect, and they quote him here at the Yahoo News article. They say, Barger noted that one of the IP addresses listed in the FBI alert has surfaced before in Russian criminal underground hacker forums. He also said the method of attack on one of the state election systems, including the types of tools used by the hackers to scan for vulnerabilities and exploit them, appears to resemble methods used in other suspected Russian state cyber-sponsored cyber attacks, including one just this month on the World Anti-Doping Agency. Now, the connections they had to the DNC hacks, in my mind, were a little bit more speculative. But it's interesting that the World Anti-Doping Agency hacked, again, they think by some Russian forces, and it's very obviously hard to tell who's doing it, even if it is Russia, who in Russia is doing it. But they've got a number of connections here. Now, look, the most important thing is to fix it no matter where it's coming from. But understand why, if it is Russia, it could be even more problematic. Because here is Donald Trump, who has apparently borrowed money from Russian interests, Russian oligarchs connected to Putin. He literally owes them money. He says nothing but glowing things about Russia as he's running for president. He indicates that he thinks that their annexation of Crimea is no big deal. He softens our stance on protecting Ukraine against Russia in the Republican platform and admits to it. It's a rare thing that he said while talking to George Stephanopoulos. Oh yeah, we did that. We softened it. And he encouraged publicly the Russians to hack into Hillary Clinton's emails even more. And then Trump goes around saying the elections are rigged, the elections are rigged. Now, look at why this is problematic in two different ways. Let's say Hillary Clinton wins. Trump's going to take a story like this and go, you see, you couldn't trust the voting system anyway. The whole thing was rigged, and so she's an illegitimate president. You should never accept her. You shouldn't accept the results of our democracy. And I mean, that's one of the great things about America, that we do things not through violence and not through coups, but through elections. He's saying don't listen to that anymore. And now the other problem is, what if it is Russia? And what if they do hack it and then flip it in some states to Trump? Oh my God, then we've got holy hell on our hands. Because they will never, the Trump people will never, ever, ever admit to it. And they'll say, we won, we won, we won, we won. It doesn't matter if you have overwhelming evidence at that point that it was hacked. They will never, ever let it go. And then what are we going to do if you have two people with a claim to the presidency? Oh my, this is an incredibly important story. Okay. Now again, it hasn't gotten there yet. An election hasn't happened yet. But boy, they've got to take every precaution going forward. So more from Isikoff. Federal and state election officials say that the prospect of full-blown cyber attack that seriously disrupts the November elections is remote, but not out of the question. About 40 states use optical scan electronic voting machines, allowing voters to fill out their choices on paper. The results are tabulated by computers. Now, first of all, I think that's problematic because, yeah, you have a paper ballot. Most people don't check their paper ballots. What if the paper ballot's coming out differently? Yeah, you have a paper ballot, but then it goes to get counted in a different place. Now, I'm not an expert on that, but I think those are things that have to be double-checked, triple-checked, and boy, wish us luck on doing that. But it actually gets worse, because in six states and parts of four others, including large areas of Pennsylvania, a crucial swing state in this year's race, they are more vulnerable because they rely on the paperless touchscreen voting, known as DREs, or direct recording electronic voting machines, for which there are no paper ballot backups. No. I don't know if 2 months is enough time to fix that. But we can't have things just being tabulated online. Come on, common sense, common sense. Everything gets hacked into. The things that seem the most secure get hacked. Our State Department got hacked into. Can they theoretically hack this stuff? Of course they can. And now they've begun to do it in real life, in practical terms, in two different states. So what are some of the precautions being taken? Well, here's one near the end of the article they explain. In his conference call this month with state election officials, Johnson, Department of Homeland Security head, urged them to guard against potential intrusions by taking basic precautionary steps, such as ensuring that electronic voting machines are not connected to the internet while voting is taking place. Now, I'm glad they're taking some precautions, but that seems like the kind of thing you do with, I don't know, turn it on and off again. I hope they got a better plan than this, but do this too. Do this, do the paper ballots, do everything you can, and have both sides monitoring it, have international actors monitoring it. It doesn't matter. Have everyone in the world monitoring it, because we cannot mess around with this stuff, and we cannot have uncertainty, because one side will jump on that uncertainty and could use it to undermine our entire democracy. Look, it's not an overstatement. The guy is already saying that it's rigged. If there's anything that goes against him or for him, he's going to say, nope, 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 my side is right. I don't care what evidence you have. And then what are we going to do? If there are two people claiming they won the presidency, what are we going to do? I can assure you this, Trump is not going to be like Al Gore and go, oh, I guess you have the better evidence. I'll just step aside. This is a disaster in the making. They should redirect any and all resources immediately to make sure that they fix this in the little time that we have before November. Okay. Speaking of disasters, we head up to Maine to give you one last report on Paul LePage. Paul LePage is the governor of Maine. He has said some atrocious things about minorities. He said blacks and Hispanics come from New York and Connecticut to deal drugs. They have names like D-Money and Shifty, I think he said one of their names was. Yeah, who names themselves Shifty? Anyway, he then went on to say that he has binders full of blacks and Hispanics, and that those black and Hispanic drug dealers that come up, they impregnate the white women and cause even more problems. No, 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 that's a quote, the white women. Okay, so he's trying to explain himself out of this. And at the end of last week, we shared some rantings he had on this. He left a voicemail for a political opponent saying, I'm going to come to get you, make sure you record this. He called them all sorts of names, but absolutely insisted he is not a racist. And then in a press conference trying to further explain himself, he said this.
Bad guy's a bad guy. I don't care what color it is. When you go to war, if you know the enemy dresses in red and you dress in blue, you shoot at red, don't you? Ken, you've been in uniform. You shoot at the enemy. You try to identify the enemy. And the enemy right now, the overwhelming majority of people coming in are people of color or people of Hispanic origin. I can't help that.
Ay, 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 ay. The enemy, here, I'll give you the direct quote again. The enemy right now, the overwhelming majority right now coming in are people of color or people of Hispanic origin. And just two sentences before that, he said, you shoot the enemy. How much clearer does he have to be? And he insists he is not a racist. I'm sure that he actually believes that. I know it sounds crazy. But he's thinking, what? The criminals are blacks and Hispanics. And we have to shoot the enemy. What's racist about that? I'm just stating facts. By the way, if you're interested to know, the American Civil Liberties Union actually did research into how many black and white drug dealers there are in Maine. And it turns out, no, Paul LePage has never been right about this. There are just as many white drug dealers in Maine as there are black drug dealers. Now you can say Maine is largely white, so that's still disproportionate. But are all of the drug dealers black and Hispanic, as Paul LePage claims? No. But when he sees someone from out of state that's a minority, he thinks, the enemy, we have to shoot them. White people, I can't tell, they mix in, I can't tell. Like, I don't have to discuss this anymore. Whether he realizes it or not, the guy is clearly racist and a dangerous one. He's the governor of that state. And there he is in a press conference telling people to shoot the enemy, and the enemies are blacks and Latinos. Good people in Maine, you got to get this guy out of office. He's dangerous. Okay. Now, let's go to a story that is, well, it's serious, but also, I guess, to be expected in a sense. Okay. There's a pastor in Georgia named Kenneth Atkins. He also does political work in Jacksonville. Now, after there was the shooting in Orlando, where all those people got killed in the biggest mass shooting we've ever had in American history at a gay nightclub, right afterwards, Atkins wrote, "Been through so much with these Jacksonville homosexuals that I don't see none of them as victims." And then he added, "If that wasn't enough, I see them as getting what they deserve." So now that's a good Christian pastor there, and you know, you see how it's just the Muslims who hate gay people. Good Christians wouldn't do that, except for when they do. In fact, Atkins in his role as a pastor and as a political person has been lobbying against LGBT rights in the Jacksonville area, trying to make sure that he defeats specific bills that would give them equal rights. Okay. Atkins, 50th Floor Times Union, explains further. Atkins, 56, turned himself over to Glynn County. Oh, wait a minute. Turns out this guy's in a little bit of trouble, too. What is it for? To authorities Friday morning on charges of, oh, here we go, aggravated child molestation and child molestation. Okay. Turns out the good Christian pastor who told us the gays were the real problem, now charged with child molestation. Now, you guys want to take a wild guess as to whether the kids he is charged with molesting are boys or girls? Well, let's finish the sentence. Stemming from allegations made by a young male former member of his congregation. They're all covering up for something. In fact, the Orlando shooter was gay, and he had gone to that same nightclub over and over again, and people from that nightclub who had slept with him said, yeah, it was. He had been spurned by some specific people there, and he held a grudge about that, and that was part of his motivation for going and shooting people. Now, Islam was a part of it, though, because his father taught him and the culture indoctrinated him with, as it does in Christianity and unfortunately the three books, that homosexuality is wrong. You should not sleep with a man. You should not sleep with a man. So for the guy in Orlando, he felt terribly guilty that he did that, and he got angrier and more bitter, and then he went and shot all those people. In Atkins' case, it appears that he knows what he's doing, he knows what he's interested in, and he bottles up that self-hatred created by a culture that tells you that being gay is wrong. And how does he do it? He goes and lashes out against gay Americans through the law, through his preaching. Oh, they're wrong, they're bad, they shouldn't have the same rights as us. And what's he doing at home? Now, of course, he says, no, we didn't do this, this was just a young kid we were mentoring. His wife says the same thing. His wife has now stepped in and is the interim pastor in his place. And they say this is all a misunderstanding, that the kid is troubled and they feel bad for him. Well, let's go find out a little bit more about Kenneth Atkins' history with the truth and see if we can figure out who's right and who's wrong here. Last month, Atkins admitted he made up an endorsement that he posted on Facebook, falsely stating that State Representative Jeff Jones had endorsed J. Peter Murphy in a race for the Glynn County Commission. Okay, well, it seems like he's got a little bit of an issue with the truth. Well, how do you respond to those charges, Pastor Atkins? Quote, "I told a lie. Politics is lying and stretching the truth." So it's not like he has an issue with telling a lie. He apparently does it all the time, but wait, it gets much worse. So now he's trying to spread rumors about a school board member that he is a political opponent of. And a magistrate had to literally stop him, saying, you can't post those things on Facebook, social media, or anywhere else. They're not true, and it's outrageous. No, you literally, legally cannot post these. Among the insane things that he wrote, he called other school board member, quote, runaway slave. Okay, and the order, here comes the best one. The order also barred Atkins from using the term child molester without proof when criticizing a worker for two local campaigns. So the guy now saying, whoa, don't call me a child molester. You don't have sufficient proof yet because we haven't gone to court yet, is the guy who was going around calling people child molester and had to be told by a magistrate to to cut it out because it wasn't legal. What do? They bottle it up, and then they spew it in the form of hatred on the rest of us. So the next time you hear somebody moralizing and telling you that gay people are either sinful or evil or shouldn't have the same rights, or they love them but they're doing something that is filled with sin, be careful and watch the children. Because these guys, they have their own issues. They go around judging everybody because inside they're actually judging themselves because they can't stand themselves. And by the way, can we all stop with the nonsense old school religion from thousands of years ago that didn't know anything and that wasn't based in science, that wasn't based in facts or reason or logic, that tells us, oh, you should hate people based on X, Y, or Z. It isn't true. It isn't true. There is no sky god who dislikes gay human beings or gay penguins. It isn't true. All right. When we come back, we're going to lighten it up again because this Loser Donald segment and the video they put together of the TV show that they wanted to do is amazing. Don't miss it. Come right back. And we are rolling today. We're back. Okay. Michelle Gallegos writes in about Paul LePage. I was hoping he wouldn't say it. Just don't say it. Don't say minorities are your enemy. Ah, then he said it. Yeah, of course he did, Michelle. Null Cookies writes in about the pastor. Hateful people almost always have some serious skeletons in their closets. And actually, Alex Jones also called in to tell us what happened to the pastor. We said, what in the world was the cause of it? He said,
it's the devil, okay?
Or perhaps it was,
it is an alien force, not of this world.
And then he added,
please believe me.
All right, now we're having fun. Okay, back to Trump. Okay, this is awesome. Roll it. Okay, we got a doozy for you tonight. So the Washington Post has uncovered something really interesting. Mother Jones also writes about it. They explained that Donald Trump wanted to do a TV show that was a drama about based on his life. Now this is a while back, but he's thinking of reviving it. Oh, this is wonderful. So first let me explain. They explained, so during the 2 years after the reality competition first aired in 2004, referring to The Apprentice, The Washington Post discovered Trump hired a television writer named Gay Walsh, is that another alter ego? Okay, to write the pilot of The Tower, a drama series based on Trump's life. Okay, now what was The Tower going to be about? They explained, The Tower would have told the story of real estate mogul John Barron, which was also the name of the fake spokesman Trump invented to plant stories about himself in the press. The use of the Barron name for the main character was Trump's only demand of Walsh, according to Washington Post reporters Michael Cranish and Mark Fisher in their new book, Trump Revealed. So, well, what happened to this? I mean, if The Apprentice was successful at the time, maybe they'd think about doing a drama. Well, they actually put together a tape and pitched it to the networks. Apparently, they explained, it just wasn't great, network executives said. No. That is a gross understatement, because I'm about to show it to you. Starting from the Dallas-like intro, all the way through the guy who's clearly supposed to be Trump and the porn-like acting, this here is gold. Let's watch.
You all right? I'm always all right, John. You know that. Remember when we were kids? We used to spend all summer at the Navy.
That's a long time ago.
We built our first buildings there.
Building? More like fort.
But a damn good one. Who would have thought we'd have all this?
We're going to be okay.
Tell me something, John. Why this project? Why now?
I've built every kind of building in the last 25 years. Made a lot of money for me and other people. But a project of this scope comes along maybe once in a lifetime.
That still doesn't explain it.
I want to be inspired. Isn't that what most of us want? Something that lifts us up, inspires us to something better? Maybe, if I pull it off, this project will inspire other people. And not just for a few years. Long after I'm gone.
We got it. We got it, John. New York City is pleased to award the development of the East Side Yards to the Barron Organization.
Both. Oh, I had to avert my eyes. That was both the worst and the best thing I've ever seen. That can't be real. I mean, the Washington Post is reporting on it, but it can't be real. I thought there was a 50% chance that when she walked in and the guy walked around the table, I was like, okay, this is when the sex starts. Because I'm nearly positive I saw this in 1980s porn. That was hideous. That was hideous. Trump thinks it was so good, he's thinking of reviving the project. Not kidding. Here we go. The tower never got the green light, but Trump told Cranish and Fisher earlier this year that he'd like to revive the project. He said, depending on what happened with this thing, meaning the presidential election, I'd like to do that. Of course, if this goes all the way, I can't do it. I won't have the time, and it wouldn't be appropriate. Yeah, no, you wouldn't have the time as the leader of the free world and president of the United States of America and commander in chief to do a TV show. No, you wouldn't have that time. Especially that TV show. Wow. Let alone putting that together. Who looks at that tape and goes, nailed it? If you ever respected Donald Trump's judgment, well, watch this. And then if it's not over for you, then I question your judgment. Wow. Loser. Okay, that's all I got to say about that. Okay, now one last story for you guys, real quick for you. Okay, so this is a sad story, but I don't want you to take it too serious because it happens. It happens in life, right? So, and it's an amazing story. Up in Norway, in the Hardangervidda mountain plateau. There are apparently thousands upon thousands of reindeer, and there was a lightning storm the other night, and it killed 323 total reindeer instantaneously. Wow! Look at that. Boom! 1 second, they're gone. So we've got one more picture here to show you guys. And then when you look at the pictures, it's super sad, right? But now, again, this happens. But let me show you the sense of the devastation, because it felt like one of the plagues. There's no locusts or anything like that, but there's all the carcasses. Like I said, 323 reindeer gone in one instant. They don't know how it happened. They don't know if it was a series of lightning strikes. Explanation is still being investigated by the Norwegian Environment Agency to try to figure out what happened. Now, in the old days, what they would have said is, it was obviously Odin. And if this happens in the US, like the floods, what do our religious people say? God. And he didn't like the lifestyle. He didn't like the lifestyle of the people down in New Orleans, that literally what pastors in America have said. And that's why he sent them a flood. Oh, 9/11, that's a liberal lifestyle, the gay lifestyle. God didn't like it and he struck us down. So why doesn't God like the reindeer lifestyle? Now, I know they're a little horny, okay, but I assure you, neither God, nor Zeus, nor Thor, nor Odin thought, these reindeer, I can't have it, I'm going to send them to reindeer hell. We are an animal like the other animals, and sometimes stuff happens to us because we live in a volatile planet. shockingly stable overall, but yes, amazing things happen. In fact, I reported a story once about how all of these fish started raining down on land. It was literally raining fish. I believe it was in the UK. And people were like, what in the world is going on? And it turns out a really powerful storm had picked up the fish from the ocean, brought them up, and then started raining them down on land. Amazing things happen on this planet, like this one. It doesn't mean the gods are angry with you. It's not like he was sitting up there and he thought, oh no, he Odin. Okay, bear with me. So, guys, it happens. This doesn't have anything to do with the sky gods, and there's no one to be angry at. It's called nature. Just calm down. I tell you that in the context of reindeer, so that when it happens to humans, you don't listen to idiots who tell you otherwise. Young Turks.